Self-care and selfish can never be put together in a sentence. It's the most unselfish thing you could do for yourself. And it's not a once a month thing. That's something you do on a regular basis. Because if you love yourself, you're showing the people around them how to properly love themselves. And you're taking care of yourself so you can show up for people.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome to another edition of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. Today, we have Tessa Arnold. How are you, Tessa?
I'm great. Thanks so much, Brad. I'm just thrilled to be here.
Awesome to have you. So as always, we're going to talk about some really cool stuff. And today is going to be about Ayurveda and how we can balance one's life and the importance of stillness. Tessa has a pretty amazing story she's going to share with us. So as always, let's jump right in. Tessa, you've built your life and business around this concept of balance, right? Could you share how the principles of Ayurveda and your six pillars of health guide entrepreneurs in creating a more harmonious and happy life?
Absolutely. So I think it's key to mention, you're already doing it. You've embarked on this incredible journey of entrepreneurship. So that tells me right off the bat that you've started to lean in and take agency really over your business. So why not start taking agency over your life and all facets of it? So that's where I really started to do this myself and embody it. I launched a business and then I started to really hone in on what it was like to be me daily. How did I wake up and how did I feel? Was I feeling fulfilled? Was I feeling balanced? Where was I staying in my sympathetic or parasympathetic nerve? How was I kind of operating in the world around me and what was I putting out? And I think all of that as an entrepreneur, you are leading the charge. You're at the helm, right? You're owning your company. You're leading the people who you employ. And I think it's so important to gauge what you're putting out, the type of energy that you're putting out, how you're showing up in the workplace every day, or how you're showing up to your computer, whatever it might be. And are you sending out the right messages? Is it peace within you that you're cultivating to spread peace around you? So I started to make this shift and really start to determine what it was that I needed to start to bring into my life. Where did I need to find some balance within my life? And that's a little bit different for everybody, depending on what they have going on. And so then I embarked on this Ayurvedic journey as I started to learn more about it and the six pillars of health. And I was like, wow, this makes too much sense not to start to incorporate and then to start to share because it felt so good. So I was looking at my movement. I was looking at my nutrition first and foremost. How was I loving my body through what I was ingesting? I was looking at my sleep patterns. I was looking at my stillness and meditation. I was looking at my emotional needs, so forth and so on. So I kept going into this, even my breathing patterns. And all those things that I just mentioned are things that are readily available to you. You can get out and walk. You can start to prepare your meals a little bit better so you're loving yourself and loving your body so your body can love you back. You can practice moments of stillness, right? You can get into practicing emotional needs and well-being and really determining what are your thoughts and how are your thoughts impacting your day-to-day environment and how you move and how you create and what you do. So I started to do that and incorporate these methods. And life got really good. It was incredible. It became magnetic almost.
So Tessa, I had no idea what Ayurvedic even meant up until probably a year or two ago. And my now life partner has been practicing it for years. And she actually convinced me to go to an Ayurvedic practitioner,
yes.
I guess, at the end of last year. So I'm familiar with it. I'm not an expert.
Yes.
But tell for the folks who are like, what the heck is Ayurvedic? Can you explain that?
Absolutely. So I'll break it down. So it is a body of knowledge that dates back 5,000 years from the East. It's from the Vedas. So some of the oldest bodies of knowledge that we know to date. It predates modern science, medical history, any of the formation of that. And what it is, it's beautifully translated to the science of life. It is just that. It's the science of life, the science of being human, the science of having this human experience, this embodiment that we are, and how to do it in such a way that it feels peaceful, you feel contentment, you feel fulfilled, because you are understanding the composition of your body, your dosha, as it is. So I'm sure you probably heard that term before.
Yep.
Doshas are really talking about, there's three different doshas. There's the vata, the kapha, and the pitta. And we determine which dosha, or you could be bidoshal, what you fall into through some profiling. So you would work with an Ayurvedic lifestyle coach or practitioner, and we would understand the composition. It's almost as if you're checking your DNA and your genes, because it is conceived at conception, what your composition is. So it's understanding yourself a little bit better and how you can properly care for yourself better, right? So then you're feeling better, you're showing up for yourself and the people you love in a much better way. And it all just makes a whole lot of sense. And it's not a fundamental shift from how we live today. It's understanding conceptually the senses. So sensory input, what are you ingesting, not just through eating, but what are you taking in visually? What are you hearing? What are you listening to? What are the colors that you wear? What are the sounds that you put on the radio? What are you reading? And what are you really taking into your whole body through the environment around you? And start to cultivate this really rich, enriching environment that you can't wait to wake up to. And then I'll tell you.
One of the things that made a lot of sense to me is that we didn't have Whole Foods back hundreds of years ago. We had to eat what nature gave us, but yet now we don't eat seasonally. And so that was one of the things that she talked to me about, was starting to eat seasonally.
Exactly, which is incredible, because those are the foods your body craves. Like when you start to move into the Vata season, right, and you get into the Kapha season, and it's a little bit cooler outside and temperatures start to drop and energy levels start to drop, you really need to start heating up the digestive fires within your body. So you start to get into those beautiful root vegetables and you start to drink the warmer teas versus summertime, right? So when you're moving into the Pitta season and it's hot and fiery outside, and energy levels are high and stimulation is high, you need to start cooling off. So you found these naturally cooling ingredients like cucumbers during the summer or watermelon that automatically cool off your body and feel really enriching and good. It's interesting. So the seasonal diet, but then also the circadian rhythms for sleep patterns, and how that's such a natural, beautiful way to relax your body in the evening, to be able to fall asleep in a very peaceful, relaxing way, right? With the sun and the moon, and to understand how you rise. I don't wake up necessarily with anything. I start to wake up and get into my later sleep patterns, my Vata patterns early. So from that 2 a.m. up to 6 a.m., your body's naturally starting to wake up, but that also means you need to go to sleep at the right time too. And you are naturally energizing yourself with just natural stimulation.
So you may have mentioned this, but what are the six pillars of health?
Yes, absolutely. So we definitely get into the nutrition. So I'll walk through these, and I want everybody to know, while there are some terms for them, we get into them and it looks a little bit different for everybody. It's a very personalized prescription to what you need from a root cause scenario, based on whatever's going on in your life and you need to balance. So you have the movement, you have nutrition, you have meditation, which can also be a practice of awareness, mindfulness, and stillness. People start to get a little worried when you start to talk about the meditative practice. It's interesting because you have two bodies of people, those who do practice meditation, have been for many, many years and can't stop because of the amazing benefits, and those that it's very intimidating and they're like, I can't meditate. And that's what I hear all the time. And I'm like, no, your preconceived notion of what meditation is, we just need to throw that out the window, and we're going to build a foundation of meditation for you specifically. And that could be walking meditation, that could be moving meditation. What I'm trying to capture is away from everything else and stillness. So you have the meditation, but then you also have the two additional pillars, which are the self-care. And what does that look like? That is not something that's selfish ever. Self-care and selfish can never be put together in a sentence. It's the most unselfish thing you could do for yourself. And it's not a once a month thing. That's something you do on a regular basis. Because if you love yourself, you're showing the people around them how to properly love themselves. And you're taking care of yourself so you can show up for people. And then we have emotional needs, which is quite a large one that we unpack, depending on what that looks like for you. So we get into past trauma healing, we get into how thoughts are expressed. Emotions are thoughts that are moving throughout your body. They usually last a few seconds. It's you who holds on to them, right? And really holds them tight within your body, that shows up in your nervous system. and shows up in your overall health and well-being too. So we work through those quite a bit in how we process our thoughts. And then we dive further down with a culmination of all of those to really build this beautiful life practice, right? This practice of being human and of living that works incredibly for you. And you go into what I like to call a flow pattern, where you do become magnetic, your vibration lifts and becomes higher, your creativity and productivity are off the scales of what you're used to, right? Because you're in a flow pattern, you're not forcing anything. It's a true expression of yourself.
It's pretty amazing. Like you said, it's been around for 4,000 or 5,000 years. Yes. And a lot of like current science now is catching up to it. And it's saying yes. stuff that Ayurveda has been saying for thousands of years.
Right.
I heard Joe Dispenza say a couple of days ago, meditate for 20 minutes unless you're really busy, and then meditate for an hour.
Yes, he does that regularly. He catches his meditations. And as busy as, you know, Dr. Joe Dispenza is, I'm sure if he could find time to do it, we can too.
Yeah.
But he starts off.
You need it more, you know?
You need it more. You need that stillness. And look at what he creates and the leaps and bounds that he has taken through the correlations between science and this overall sense of well-being, and dare right. we call it holistic medicine and healing, and the type of healing that he does. So I would say, yes, there's many people that you can look to and follow, and you're exactly right. Modern medicine is now starting to take a page out of this, where more and more doctors and practitioners are not treating the symptoms, which we've done for far too long. They're drilling down to the root cause. And a lot of the medical doctors are looking at the gut health first before they look to any of the things that could be affecting you. I'll name a few: depression, anxiety, any of those items. A lot of people go into the doctor's office now, I'm suffering from acute anxiety, I'm having panic attacks, I feel like I'm depressed, I put on weight, my skin, so many different symptoms. We could list them all off, and people do reach out to me, and they do. And I start to talk about, I'll be like, what are you eating? How are you moving? What's going on? And we start to look at that, because the gut is the second brain, right? So the ENT and the transfer of the chemicals that come up. So it's, I do believe they've studied between 70% to 90% of the serotonin is actually released from your gut. It's not your brain. And how you fuel yourself and love yourself through nutrition has such a profound impact on mental health.
Yeah, this stuff is like life-changing stuff. And the gut health, oh my God, like I had no idea. I went to a thing called Brain Camp 3 years ago, and it was part of a huge shift in my transformation. I was actually on antibiotics every day of my life for 11 years because I was told I had Lyme disease, which I believe I have. But when I would get off the medication, I would break out like crazy. So when I went to this Brain Camp, which was, they gave you this dose of superfood, like literally it was like eating in a spoon a garbage full of the highest potent green vegetables you can ever imagine. They said as a prerequisite, you cannot be on antibiotics or any type of drug. So I was like, but if I stop, I'm going to break out. And they're like, no, you won't. And I tried for 11 years to get off antibiotics. So I stopped smoking weed and drinking, got off the antibiotics. And I went there, and sure enough, now it's been 3 years. It's never come back. And it's great. Because of the gut health. My gut health yes. is now good because I'm not drinking alcohol and putting crap in mm-hmm. So Tessa, you have a pretty interesting, powerful story around taking over the business of your late husband. And can you share that story and how that transformative period has shaped your approach to life and business? And what advice would you give listeners who are facing the same pivotal moments?
Absolutely. So it's been a journey. And had you told me I'd be doing what I was doing right now 5, 4, 7 years ago, I'd say you've lost your mind. I was in commercial banking, and I had been in commercial banking for 12 years and had built a pretty lucrative career there and had a wonderful network. And he had an idea for a business, and I supported him as a partner and a wife. And then later on, I was put in a position where either this business was going to not make it off the ground, or I was going to need to take over. And I did. And I said, if I'm going to do something like this, I only know how to put 110% in and make it my own. And that's where Snapback Energy really was born to be what it is today, and the brand that it is today. I had no intention of becoming an entrepreneur so quickly, but it was a moment, a pivotal point where it was more than just something that I needed to take on from a business sense. There was a very emotional drive. There was the relationship with him and how much I cared for him on a personal level. And I knew I needed to get it off the ground. And since then, after losing him unexpectedly, it's become this sort of lighthouse in the storm. And so much more, it's allowed me to challenge myself beyond ways than I ever thought I would, learn and grow and evolve, which I remembered quickly I was meant to do and we're all meant to do constantly. If we're not learning and growing and evolving, I'm not necessarily sure that what we're doing, we're not getting out of our comfort zone and we're not challenging ourselves enough. They say complacency is where dreams go to die. And I cannot get complacent to save my life nowadays. It's always something new because I'm in that flow pattern. I would say to all those listening, my story in general is one where something comes up through a hardship or grieving or an opportunity, or you're just really uncomfortable with the way life's going. And you've had this idea that you've been holding on to, or these thoughts or this unsettling feeling. Don't just sit with that. Embrace the unknown, challenge yourself and start to lean in. And I think when you come from a perspective of what could this be and all the ways that this could take me forward, and not to say it's always going to be successful because it's not. I like to say, and I think this is a meld of other people, measurement of success is how many times you failed. It's get out there and fail a little bit, and then at least you know you're trying. I mean, look at the Steve Jobs, look at the Bill Gates, look at the Mark Zuckerbergs, all of those, whomever you want to name, everybody. So all of the greats are going to have a list of failures behind them. And it was just ideas that they kept pushing for at their homes in moments of stillness. They came up solving for whatever it is that you think needs to be solved for. But yes.
Jack Canfield went to 141 publishers before someone took his Chicken Soup for the Soul book.
Yes, yes. And look at that. There's series built off of that. I've read about him and it's absolutely incredible to hear about that. If you have the book, write the book. If you have the words that you want to put out there, write there. And what you're going to tell yourself, because I did this, because I've since started a second business after Snapback Energy, which again, I never thought that I would. You're going to sit there and say, it's already been done. This has been done. Nobody needs it. Nobody needs to hear this. And I challenge you and say, whether it's been done or not, nobody's going to do it the way that you do
it.
Yeah,
right.
Nobody's going to think the way that you think. Nobody's going to say the things that you say. Nobody's going to have this output that you have. Please do it. Just go out and do it.
So Tess, I think you used the word like if you're stuck, just go do it, right?
Yes.
Knowing what you know now, and you know a lot more than you did before, at least in terms of like mental health and gut health and all the stuff we've been talking about, don't you think it's so much easier to do once you've done the work and figured out the unprocessed traumas and all the stuff that we're talking about? Talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. I love that you brought that up because I do feel that there's a sequence of steps that are taken to this. And I would also say to anybody listening, right, it's how you want to show up in the world, right? So think about that first and then start unpacking what you need to from there. I'd venture to say this has been a journey for myself. And if I were to embark on what I'm embarking on right now, 2 years ago, I don't know that it would have shown up in the proper way that I'd like to today, or as the full expression of myself that I'm showing up today. And it would be as meaningful, or if I'd be able to convey what I need to, had I not done the work. So you're exactly right. You need to start to look within. Somebody said the other day, I was listening to a podcast, and he said, everybody's always telling me to do the work. And I'm yelling at them, what's the work? What's the work I need to do? And they're like, you are the work. You are your greatest masterpiece that you're ever going to create and experience and put out into this world. So stop with anything. Stop moving forward with anything else and take a look in the mirror and say, are there things that I need to focus on right here? How am I showing up for myself? How am I showing up for the people around me? Are there things that I want to change there? How's my health? How do I feel in my body? Before you jump out of bed, do a mental check. Start at your toes and work all the way up to your head. And how do you feel? And then start to think about your thoughts. How do your thoughts start circulating in your head first thing when you wake up? Are they positive? Are they, what's your self-talk look like? Right? And then we'll start to work there. And obviously, most important, the nutrition. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you are sitting here and listening to this and you're saying, I wonder if I have to do the work, I can give you the answer in 3 minutes. Just go to bradchandler.com/quiz and take my self-love quiz. And if you score lack of self-love or mild self-love, the answer is you absolutely have work to do. But don't look at it as, oh, woe is me, I have work to do. Look at it just the opposite, that, oh my gosh, my life can get so much better, just like mine. And it sounds like, Tessa, has your life gotten so much better since you've done this work and processed
things? It's incredible. I was just talking to my partner before I came in and started the meeting, and he was like, I feel so blessed. And I was like, I feel so blessed. It's like I wake up in the morning and I'm like, man, life is good. And there's not necessarily one thing. It's so many things that have come in, but it's the peace that I've cultivated within myself. That there's no price tag that you can put on that. It is a feeling that you never want to let go of. And you can keep cultivating it and creating that practice. And when I say that it pours onto everything else that you do in such a magical way, that is not an understatement. It literally, like the electromagnetic vibration that your heart puts out up to 6 feet, Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about that. That's what this is. And you can't stop it, right? Because you put these steps into place. So yes, absolutely.
So tell us more about Snapback.
Yeah. So Snapback is a supplement that you take. It's a packet of powder, magical powder, if you will, that you mix with water. We have a patented formula of natural ingredients that when I say support your liver, they really a powerhouse of a supplement specifically for your liver, which performs over 500 functions in the body. So you take one before you wake up, maybe you replace the stimulant of the coffee because this is caffeine-free, vegan, gluten-free, and kosher. And you mix that instead of the coffee. It's great for pre-workout fuel. It's great to just give you that energy naturally throughout the day. Or you could take one before bed. It does have a beautiful complement of magnesium that helps you sleep and regulate your at night. So I say take one in the morning, take two during the day. It's something that your body needs and wants that maybe you haven't discovered yet. And we do have the grape and orange flavors. So it is one of the true patented, scientifically formulated supplements out on the market that really has everything that you need and nothing that you don't.
And where can people find that?
Absolutely. So they can order it at snapbackenergy.com. We're running some promotions right now and we're excited, actually late breaking. We just launched a new website. So we just did a complete update of our website and we are moving co-packing facilities to a larger location down and expanding through the Miami region. So a lot of exciting stuff is going to be coming out on our website and through our newsletters. So go ahead and subscribe. You'll see all of that and we'll be running a lot of promotions.
That's awesome. So you told me yesterday that you spent a week with Deepak Chopra. What was that like?
It was incredible. It's such a funny story. We could spend another half an hour. Anybody who wants to hear it, they can reach out. I decided that as I was leaning in on everything else, I was going to lean in on going on a retreat. I had never been on a retreat. Retreat's such a funny, fun word. Everybody goes, you retreat for this, you retreat for that. And I was like, well, I need to grab some of this retreat that everybody's talking about. And I decided to go. I wanted to go out of the country, but I didn't want to go for too long a period of time because I have two small children. And this one came up with Deepak Chopra. And obviously, I had done a little bit of research. I knew he was on one of Oprah's favorite people. And I had seen his books and I started to read them. And it was almost as if it was unlocking a wisdom that I already had within myself that he was just guiding me back to, as Ayurvedic does, the Ayurvedic practice does as well. I'm not teaching you anything that you don't already know. Let me be your guide to take you back to self. And that's what he very much did for me. And it was absolutely amazing. He is nothing short of just one of the most peaceful human beings I've ever come in contact with. I can say that without a doubt when I say that he probably has spent the latter part of his life dispensing out all the gifts that he's been given. That's an understatement. He truly has. And I think that's all that we could ever want for any one of us. I would say that those who don't know his story, he was a medical doctor and his lifestyle was not the most conducive to, I think he says it on podcasts, he would drink and he was smoking. And then he was like, oh, this is not working out for me. And he got into this healthy well-being like you and I are just talking about. And look what he did in the world. Look what he's putting out in the world. And that was a shift that started with him.
So what was your biggest takeaway from that week?
Oh, goodness. He said, he has a quote that I share all the time. We sat there in this giant room, and this is my first, and I met him close, like one-on-one, but this is my first intake of him going up on the stage. And he says, he grabs the microphone and does his introduction. He goes, we're all sleepwalking through life. It's time to wake up. And I was like, oh, I was like, boom, that hit me like a ton of bricks. And it was incredible. it resonated so much with everything that I was going through and had been going through on this journey. And I felt so uncomfortable in my skin, and I knew I was growing, and I knew I was expanding, and I was shedding old thought patterns and old practices, and it was super uncomfortable. And everybody that's listening, yeah, really, really uncomfortable. And it still is today when you start to shed something that's comfortable but not necessarily useful or adding value to your life, and you're expanding. And when he said that, yes, I was like, this resonates so much. I am no longer whatever it takes and whatever I need to learn here. I'm no longer sleepwalking through life. I'm taking agency over my life. And that was it for me.
99% of the planet are sleepwalking through life, unfortunately. Yes. And it's all based on these limiting beliefs and everything we've been talking about. So you mentioned that you help people take back to themselves, right? What does that mean?
Yes, it's doing the work. It's doing the work and taking the path back to you, who you actually are without those self-imposed limitations. We, ironically, we're the ones who put the limitations on ourselves, yes. Nobody else. But it's preconceived since childhood, because that's when we're first told, no, you can't. No, you shouldn't. No, you're getting too old. No, you're not a kid anymore. And it's the no, no, no's. And you're like, oh gosh, yeah, I do have limits. I'm in a box. I can only do so much. I want to break open that box and say you're limitless and abundance is all around you. It's up to you to start bringing it into and channeling into your life, but you can't when you're blocked. And those doubts and those thoughts and that negative self-talk pattern have to be broken. So yes, we go back to self, but it's self, Brad, in the sense that we are so much more than this embodiment, right? We are energy and light and love and beyond anything that we could ever imagine. Yes, this is my avatar and this is what you see. And yes, it could have limitations. And yes, it is going to age. And yes, it's beautiful in its own sense. And yes, I'm going to take care of it so my body can love me back. But I'm so much more than that. And that's where you stop getting out of the self-comparison. That's where you stop getting out of the lack mindset, right? That's where you remove those things. That's where you stop the endless scrolling. That's where you stop the dopamine kicks and then the cortisone levels spike and you get into living in a sympathetic nerve reaction of fight, flight, or freeze, right? All of these things, we start to shut them down one by one. And that's where you start to maintain this really beautiful parasympathetic nerve reaction where you're in homeostasis and balance. And you start to realize that, yes, the world around you has all of these stimulants and all of these things that are constantly demanding your attention, but they're not worth that. And they have no impact on who you are. And you fall into a sense of self-awareness, preservation, and presence. And you don't want to let it go. You start to show up for the people around you. You start to look them in the eye in conversations. You don't feel like you constantly have to move or get distracted. You start to really deepen your relationships at a beautiful level. You start to understand your core values, your boundaries, right? And you start to show up in such a beautiful way that you don't want to go back, right?
It is incredible. And in that lack of connection, that disconnection from oneself, it's just your brain doing its job, because we all went through stressful times where our needs weren't met as a child and we disconnected. And at the core of it, that's everyone's issue. So amazing stuff. So as we wrap up, Tessa, what is the biggest life lesson you've ever learned and why?
Oh, goodness. I think it's honestly that this is a life experience. And I love to use the word experience, and that I'm the agent of this life. And I have a choice if I want to sleepwalk through it or not, but I do have a choice. And at the end of this experience, if I haven't given out the purest form of who I am and my gifts, that would be my only regret, nothing else. Because through failures and challenges and hardships, I at least can say that I've lived. Right, through all of that and had a true life experience. So I think that's probably the biggest lesson. And going through trauma and losing people close to me at a very young age, starting at 12 and then multiple times on, I've understood the fragility of life and how incredible perspective is and gratitude. Because if you have gratitude and you change the perspective of that victim mentality and understand this didn't happen to me, this happened and I experienced it and I have a choice, right? And you can work through that. And not to say that terrible things don't happen, but then you have a choice of how you're going to let it impact the rest of your life. And that's a gift.
Awesome. So if people want to work with you, I know you're doing coaching and you've got this amazing product. Where's the best place to reach you, Tessa?
Absolutely. So they can reach out via email. It's tessa@balanceofyou.com. Again, you can check out the website at balanceofyou.com or Snapback Energy. And then we're on all the socials. But best place to reach out to me is email. I balance my time and I check that more often than anything else. So please do it. I really enjoy talking with everybody and connecting.
Awesome. So I'm on a mission to help 1 million people. So if you like this show, please help me. And that's to help 1 million people find this freedom and happiness that we're talking about, reconnecting to their self so that they can live an abundant, fulfilled, happy, driven life. So please, please, please share, rate it, review it, anything you can do to help get the word out. I'd greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much, Tessa. That was awesome.
Thank you. It was so great. And thank you so much for having me.
That concludes another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. Until next time, remember, love heals all.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.